Our Bibles tonight, if you would, turn them over to the Gospel of Luke, and if you're able, let's go ahead and stand. We're going to read several verses. I'm going to give you just a synopsis of what we covered thus far, and then wrap it up with one more group of people that we have not looked at yet. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8, and we're going to read verses 8 through 14 collectively. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And looking forward to that. Amen. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Any omies? Oh me, I hear one up front. Miss Faithy Poo. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And the shepherds, we've not heard from the shepherds yet. We looked at several of the others. We looked at the wise man, the little drummer guy. Looked at Mary and Joseph. We've not looked at the shepherds yet. And so we're going to look at them tonight. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. Let's go ahead and start reading in verse number 8. And we'll conclude with verse 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Father, bless these next moments that we have together as we wrap up what we've been studying the past 2 weeks, Lord, in preparation and arrival of the newborn king's time of the year. Lord, this is a birthday that we don't want to take lightly. We want to make sure we reverence it and take it and notice that we might treat it kindly, and Lord, treat it in just extra special as it is. Pray now that as we approach this time of the year, that even heathen folks celebrate this time, people don't know God celebrate this time, Lord, that the truth of this time might really permeate not just our hearts, but the hearts of those that we come in contact with, Lord, as we wish them a Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for this time. Thank you for those that are here tonight, those that cannot be with us as well. We ask your blessings upon them. Lord, now lead in this time that we have together as we study your word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, you may be seated. Now, anybody ever been outside when it's dark at night and there's no lights around? Anybody ever been out there outside? Kenny from North Carolina, so I know he's been out there. Amen. What kind of feeling do you get over yourself when you're outside at night when it's dark and there's nobody else around? Joshua? Scared, amen. What other feeling? The stars are up there, you know, and it's dark and nobody else around for miles and miles, but just you. Brother Jeff?
Just the awesomeness of the vastness of the sky and seeing
all the stars and the vastness and the awesomeness of God and how, man, all this immenseness that's out here, and I'm here underneath the blanket of stars, amen. Any other thing, you're out by yourself, amen. You're out there with, you know, maybe your dog or something like that, and you know, nothing's just black as dark. I mean, the nearest light is not even found by you, amen. Now, how do you feel, Carlene? You got to be a God. Amen. 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 Katie?
Not alone in the sense that you're lonely, but you're the only one there. And you have free access to God in a way that nobody can interfere with. And it's just, it's such a peaceful feeling. But like Joshua, I don't necessarily like being out in all that dark, not knowing what's over there.
Amen. Amen. You know, something about if you're out there long enough, have you ever noticed how the darkness even seems light?
Oh, it does.
after you're out there, you know, your eyes actually get acclimated to that, and the focus begins to come in, and the darkness is actually light. And so some of the darkness actually is light, and some of the darkness is darker than the darkness of the light. Amen, if that makes sense. And so you're walking around, you can actually see some things. You've got the stars, and the stars are lighting up the area, and you can actually see some things, not as you could if it were, you know, daylight, but you can see better. What about when there's a full moon? That full moon gives off some serious light as it's reflecting the sun. And, you know, you can imagine being out there in nighttime and with this awesome responsibility of being a shepherd. By the way, shepherds were some of the lowest of the low in those days and time. They were looked upon as very, very meager people. Amen. And notice what it says down in verse number 8. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So as Mary is having the Christ child here, these shepherds are out there at night, pitch black. I mean, it's dark. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, if you have read any of the Old Testament, when angels came to some of the men of God, they were in awe. They were in shock. They were frightened. They were fearful. Now, not all of them, but most of them were. These shepherds are not expecting a visit by Almighty God's angels. And the Bible says the glory of the Lord shone round about them. How many remember the story of Moses when Moses said, show me your glory? And God said, okay, you can't see me and live, but I'll cover you up with my hand and I'll go back and you'll see the hinder parts of me. And so Moses just saw the hinder parts of God. And who remembers what happened to him when he came off the mountain? He glowed. The Bible said his face shone. So in other words, it looked like he had a serious tan and part of the sun was on his face and people saw him. And they probably thought he had a radiation treatment or nuclear attack or something, or got into some uranium or something. And that stuff got through him and he began to emit and to glow. And wouldn't it say the people were, they were afraid of him. The people said, you need to put something over your face, son. We are afraid of you. And the people, as Moses got closer, the people backed up. Moses got closer, the people backed up. You know, how would you feel if I came here to preach today and I'm glowing? Y'all would probably thought I got into a nuclear reactor or something. You know, that's the guy. Hey, Brother Duffy, how you doing? I'm doing fine, Pastor. I'm fine, fine. He'd get up without that walker in a heartbeat, I bet. I say, hey, brother, let's shake. No, that's okay. That's okay. But the glory of the Lord out of nowhere at nighttime shines, and it says they were sore afraid. I think you would be sore afraid, too. Now, Faith, just imagine you're asleep in your room at night. And then the angel of the Lord appears. Would you be so afraid and run and get me and mommy? But what if the angel's in front of the door? Then what you going to do? Mommy, daddy. I can see her now. She got a little camera in front of her room so we can see her. And she get in front of that camera. Help! Can y'all hear me? There's an angel in my room and it's glowing and I'm scared. Help! Wake up. Somebody wake up. I can only imagine being in this predicament here with these angels, and they're so afraid. And the angel comes back and comforts them and says, fear not. You know, that you need a word like that, fear not, fear not. You know, when you get afraid, fear not. You know, when Faith comes in and she's had a bad dream, something like that, I say, Faith, what the Bible says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Faith says, easy for you to say, you're not in my room. But he says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which should be to all people. They say, you know, we got a message for you. And this message is not just going to be for you, but it's going to be for all people. This is the message unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They said, you know what? We came down here not to frighten you, but to inform you that there's a Savior being born right down there. And you need to go and check that out. This should be a sign unto you. You should find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Certainly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. So now not only is the angel of the Lord there in his glory, but also now there's a heavenly host of them praising God. And can't you just imagine the hillside lit up? And I can believe that if they saw something like, they already know the fear not. Talk about a light show. How many of you ever seen a laser light show? I can believe this was the best laser light show that you ever saw. Back in, remember, there's no real electrical lights back in these days. There's only flame light. And now these guys come in, they don't have flame light. They have glory of God light. Hey, the Bible says in the end, there's no need of sun. Why? God's going to be the sun. He's going to be the light. Can you imagine that? I can't even fathom that type of light. The Bible says it's true. And so there was this heavenly host of angels praising God, and they're saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. We're going to pick it up with the shepherds tonight and give you a few quick thoughts about the shepherds. What we looked at so far, we saw the little drummer guy. He presented unto Jesus his heart. We saw that in video a couple Sunday nights ago. And then we noticed that Joseph presented unto Jesus a heart of obedience. He said, you know what? I'll do exactly what you tell me to do. Amidst all of the ridicule and things of that nature that I have to go through, I'll do it. And he did it repeatedly. And again, he didn't have the word of God like we have it. How did God appear to him? In a dream. And successive dreams, he moved Joseph from this point to that point, from this point to that point, from this point to that point, on down the line through successive dreams. And we saw that. Last Sunday, we saw the wise men presenting him birth presents, gold fit for a king. We saw that's practical. They said, you know what? Gold is practical for a king because kings have gold. We saw they presented him frankincense, was fit for a god. And it was prayer and praiseworthy because you only pray to one person, that's God. And the incense, the frankincense, or the incense that was given there was representing the prayers that the priest would offer up and send up. And so the wise men gave him gold. They gave him frankincense, saying that he was God. Gold saying he was king. And then they gave him myrrh, fit for a savior. And it was prophetical for the payment of sin that he would pay. Why? Myrrh is used for embalming dead bodies. So when the wise men came in, they presented on him these birth presents, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, fit for a king, fit for a god, and fit for a savior. And then we saw we ourselves can present ourselves as a present. We may not have gold, but guess what? We can have something that we treasure. Aaron's a perfect example. Hey, I don't have gold, but I have something I treasure, and I'll give that. The drummer guy said, you know what? I don't have a whole lot, but I can play my drum. Joseph said, you know what? I don't have a whole lot, but you know what? I can obey. The wise men said, you know what, we've got gold, we've got frankincense, we've got myrrh, and we can give that because it represents something that you are, and you're a king, you're a God, and you're a savior, although you're an infant king. And so then Sunday night, we saw God present on him birth parents, not just birth presents by the wise men, but birth parents. And God had thousands of people in Israel that he could have chosen. He chose Mary and Joseph to rear the baby. We found out they weren't popular people. They weren't prominent people. They weren't public figures. They weren't prosperous people. They had no power. They had no prestige. They had no palace. Joseph was not priestly. He wasn't preparing for ministry. They were just peasant people. But we found out they were pure people. And they were prepared people. And they were poised people. And they were precious people waiting for the Messiah and Lord. And so these parents was Jesus entrusted. And we saw that these birth parents that God gave had some qualifications. Joseph was a righteous parent. He was a real parent. By the way, nothing more important than being a real parent. I can tell you this. I lived all my life growing up with parents that were real. My mom was real as they come. And she'd tell you in a heartbeat. Now, Greg, I know on the streets they may say this, that, and let me tell you how it really is. And my mother would break it down. And she would say, now, let's just be real about this. And my mother was very, very down to earth and very practical with me. And so she was a real parent. My dad was a real parent. And they really got down to the ground level. And I believe Joseph was that type. He was not only a righteous parent, but he's a real parent. And he's also a rendering parent. We saw he was really to give up his rights to name Jesus what the angel said to name him, Jesus, instead of naming him Joseph after himself. Gave up his rights. Now, a parent that is going to really parent the Son of God. Now, think about that. Parenting Jesus. How are you going to parent somebody that knows more than you? But he was a righteous parent, real parent, rendering parent. And I remember the one time that I was at in Chicago, and the car broke down. Dad probably don't remember this, but But it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. The van wouldn't start, and Dad had to get out of the car, out of the warm bed, and could drive 45 minutes all the way to Chicago to get me, bring me back home. You know what that is? That's a rendering parent. That's a rendering parent. All the way to Chicago. You say, how far was it? It was a good. It was wintertime too. You know what that is? That's a rendering. That's a parent that's ready to give up something for their child. And Joseph, I believe, was a rendering parent. He was ready to give up his name and his status and everything about him to claim Jesus as his foster son, if you would, and raise him and rear him, although he knew he would face ridicule. So he was a righteous parent, a real parent, a rendering parent. Mary, we found out, was a pure parent. She had saved herself. She was a position parent. She was in the right place for the blessing of God. She had already presented herself, and so she was highly favored above all the other Marys. And she was a personal parent. She made that manger a personal place for Jesus. Tonight we're going to look at the shepherds presented unto Jesus proclamations. Proclamations. While the wise men presented birth presents and God presented birth parents. Now shepherds are presenting unto Jesus proclamations. Notice the proclamations inside their circle. Verse number 13 says this: certainly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Notice what it says: and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. So now think about this. The grandeur is gone. The heavenly host is gone. All that has gone now, and it's just the quiet of the angels. Can you imagine how quiet it really was after those angels left? I mean, after hearing all the praising going on, all the lights, and all of a sudden, boom, just like that, the lights went out. And the shepherds are standing there looking at each other. Now, what goes through your mind after seeing something like that? I tell you, the time that me and my wife thought, we almost positive we saw an angel. And we were down in, was it Italy? Or London? Paris. It was a place we didn't understand English. That's what it was. Rome, amen. And this guy, I mean, sharp-dressed guy, appeared out of nowhere. And as soon as we turned around, he was gone after he gave us instructions. And my wife looked at me, and I looked at her. What just happened? Wasn't that guy just, like, right here? I mean, like, right here? And she's looking at me, and we're not dreaming, are we? No, we didn't have the same dream. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. And we thought, man, that was bizarre. That was an angel. We said, that had to be an angel. Because we had no clue where we were going. I had to get back to work. I was on a trip. I was in another country, and I had to get back to another country, and the train was leaving. We didn't know which train to take, and the guy just said, you need that train right there, as if he heard our whole conversation. And we turned and looked at the train and went back to thank him, and he was gone, just that quick. Amen. And we thought, whoa. And we got on that train, and we started talking. You think that was an angel? Nobody can get away from us that quick. Now, my name is Greg. I'm vigilant. I'm watchful. He slipped me. The fanfare is gone now. And the Bible says now, when the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. And so notice that. They said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. So let me submit to you, first of all, that as they are presenting Jesus these proclamations, their first proclamation was inside their circle. They got together and testified one of another. Let us go and see what just was told to us. Hey, let's get together. Now we got to get leading sheep with somebody. You know, let's leave with Brother Duffy. Amen. But we're going to go and see what this is. And so we find the proclamations inside their circles. The shepherds, now I want you to understand this, they weren't taken up with the angels. They weren't investing any merit in the glory that the angels had shown. They weren't caught up with all the fanfare. They said, let's go see what these angels told us about. They could have sat there and made a big to-do about the angels. Boy, did you see that? Boy, did you see all the angels and them flapping their wings and glory to God and all this and whatnots? And they didn't say any of that. You know what they said? Let's go see what they said. What happened? There's a proclamation within the inner circle here. They had no misgivings about this. They knew exactly this was going to be true. They said this, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, notice this, and see this thing which is come to pass. There was no doubt in their mind that this is a done deal, that the Savior is born, that Christ is there. He's going to be found in the manger. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. There's no doubt in my mind he's there and we're going to see him. They left the angels, if you would, in the dust, because it's not about the angels. Hey, may I submit to you, this time is not about the angels. It's not about Santa or Rudolph. It's about Jesus Christ. Jesus is still the reason for the season. And so the proclamation inside their circle, they said, let us go and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And so there's this us that's involved here, this inner circle. And may I submit to you that you and I, when God does great things in our lives, share it with somebody. There was not a testimony time, but guess what? Aaron said, can I share what God has done for me? Can I share what God has done for me? Let us go into the inner circle and say, hey, look, let me share with you what God's done in my life, how good God is, how God's blessed me. Why am I encouraging somebody else? Went inside the inner circle here and they made a proclamation. Nobody else is around. There's no kings here. There's no sovereigns here. There's nobody but sheep and shepherds. And inside their own circle, they made a proclamation. Let us go and see this thing that's come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto who? Us. Why? Inside their circle. But notice as we read on, it says, and they came with haste. They didn't waste no time. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Guess what? As it was what? Told them. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Not only do we see the proclamations inside their circle, but proclamations outside their circle. Verse 17 says, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them. Now, hold your thought right there. And let's not miss the point. Notice what it says here. And when they had seen it, meaning the baby and the manger in that scene, they made known abroad what? The saying which was told them concerning this child. What was the saying that was told them? Well, go back down to verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, this is what they made known. Fear not, for behold, I bring you glad good tidings of great joy, which should be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the saying. That's what they made known abroad. Hey, folks, there's a Savior being born, Christ the Lord. Hey, we saw him. He's there. It's not about the angels. It's not about anything. It's about him. See, if you're not careful, you miss that. They made known abroad the saying that was told them. What was that saying? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's what people need to hear. Hey, when you wish them a Merry Christmas, you can, if you get the opportunity, you can say, you know what? Do you know what it's all about? You know, it's about the baby that was born to save the world from their sins. They made known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Why? He would save his people from their sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? He shall save his people from their sins. And so when you look at this, the shepherds presented the Jesus proclamations inside their circle. They got amongst themselves and they witnessed and testified amongst themselves. Hey, let's go see this thing. Let's see what was made known to us. But then proclamations outside their circles, they made known. Instantly, they went out to tell others outside their circles, people outside their own lives and outside their inner circle that, hey, Jesus Christ has been born in Bethlehem. He's there. We saw him. Christ the Savior is born. They found him wrapped in swaddling clothes. And so they made known abroad the saying. Notice what it says down in verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. This is obviously late at night. But they made sure that some people that were around heard it. I can just see them on the way out of Bethlehem as they're going out. Hey, we just saw Christ the Lord, the Savior. He's down there in the inn, in the manger, in the stable. I can see him going, hey, we just saw Christ the child. It was made known unto us by the angel. He's right down there in the angel. I wonder how many went to go see him that night. And we know the wise men didn't come till about 2 years later. I wonder how many others went because they had the invitation right here. The shepherds made it known abroad. It says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And what did they tell them? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. They told these people. It says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Can you imagine what's going through Mary's mind? Now, he ain't lived yet. And y'all trying to kill him off already. Or maybe a Savior? How's he going to save the world? Now, of course, I don't think the cross was in anybody's mind at that time. But what is Mary thinking? Savior? This baby Jesus? Now, Jesus, the God did tell me I was going to have a child and he was going to save people from their sins. But how? How can he do it? How's this going to happen? Moses thought he had his way. Remember, Moses is going to free the children of Israel. And he went and killed an Egyptian. He wished, thought they knew that he was going to be their Savior. And God said, it ain't going to be that way. You're not going to go and start killing Egyptians to get my people out of there. I'm going to bring my people out. Can you imagine what's going through Mary's mind? If he's going to be a Savior, Christ the Lord, how's this going to be? How's it going to happen? How's he going to save? Remember the picture, Mary at the cross, seeing Jesus on the cross? That's how it's going to happen. That's how it's going to happen. The last thing a mother wants is to see her child die. It's the last thing. My wife's mother has had the unfortunate incident of seeing two of her children die. That's the last thing a parent wants to see. But Mary would see Jesus die, but for our sins. And so he was born to die. The shepherds know this, and they're proclaiming this story. And they're giving this story out. They made known the saying which was told them concerning the child. By the way, those abroad received the same message that the shepherds themselves received, similar to Paul. Hold your finger there and go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because Paul will tell you in a heartbeat, the message that he's given is not the message of him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And notice it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which you preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Notice verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also, what? Received. You know what the shepherd said? We're telling you what was told to us. Christ the Savior is born. Paul over here is saying, you know what, I'm telling you what someone told me, and it was Jesus Christ who told me how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Back over in Luke as we close. Down in Luke chapter 2 and verse 20, and the shepherds returned where? To the fields. Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had, what? Heard and seen. What did they hear? Verse number 10. They heard good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. What did they hear? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What did they see? This shall be a sign unto you. Shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So in verse 20, it says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard. They heard about their Savior. They saw their Savior wrapped in swaddling clothes as it was told unto them. And they made that known abroad. And so the shepherds, although they were not wise men, they couldn't give gold, they couldn't give frankincense and myrrh, although they didn't give the heart like the drummer guy did, and although they didn't give the heart of obedience like Joseph did, although they weren't the birth parents like God gave to Jesus, they were proclaimers, if you would, and they proclaimed what they had seen and what they heard, how that Christ is born right down there. And everybody that I come into contact with, I'm going to tell. You know, we may not have the treasure that the kings had of gold and frankincense and myrrh. We may not have something precious like Aaron and cut off a lock of our hair or something like that. But I tell you one thing that we all can do is proclaim Christ is born. Christ is born. Jesus is still alive. Yes, he's no longer in the manger. Yes, he's no longer ministering down here on earth physically. Yes, he's no longer on the cross. And yes, he's no longer in the tomb. And although he's in heaven, he is coming again soon. And he's not back yet, but he's coming one day. We can tell people, you know what? He was born in that manger for our sins. Why? It says right here, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know who he did it for? He did it for me. He did it for you. Now, if you don't give Jesus anything else this Christmas, you can give him some proclamation. Tell others about him. Tell others why this time exists. Tell others about he who saved you. Tell others about he who came to Bethlehem years ago. Tell others what the shepherd said. You know what? Come see a man, amen, as the woman at the well. Come see a man, tell me all things ever I did. Is not this to Christ? Paul said, I received it, and I'm preaching it to you, how that Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures. He was buried, rose again the third day, according to Scriptures. Folks, that's the gospel, and that is for anyone that will receive it. By the way, just like anyone had access to go into the manger scene there on that Christmas day, anybody can be born again. Man, woman, boy, it matters not. Person just needs to understand they're a sinner. They need to be saved, and they repent of their sins and accept Christ as Savior. You know what? It's just that easy. But you say, preacher, but I got to humble myself. Yeah, you do. Repent and believe the gospel. But Jesus Christ was born for you and I. Folks, I don't know if you know what you're getting Jesus Christ yet for his birthday, but guess what? He wants something. For my birthday, I want something. For your birthday, you want something. Don't you think Jesus Christ wants something for his birthday? Aaron's already gave his gift. Have you given yours? Do you know what Jesus wants from your life? Start with yourself and say, Lord, I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. And once, Lord, you've got me, you've got everything that I have. So point to what you want. Do you want obedience from my lips? Do you want me to praise you a little bit more? Do you want me to pray to you a little bit more? Do you want me to praise you a little bit more? Do you want me to knock on another door? Do you want me to write a couple more notes of encouragement? Do you want me to go over here and love my neighbor or be kind to this person or be long-suffering with this person or be gentle to that person or be compassionate towards that person or be obedient to my parents or maybe love my sister or my brother? Maybe be obedient to my father or my mother? Maybe treat my children with respect, amen. Hey, whatever it is, ask Jesus. Say, Jesus, what do you want from me? I guarantee you, you won't hear the crickets. He'll tell you. And may I submit, start with giving yourself. You're the reason he was born to die. Start by giving yourself. And once you give yourself to him, say, Lord, whatever it is, I'll do it. And maybe, I don't know about you, but I like getting multiple gifts on my birthday. Not just one. I like 2, 3, and 4. I like at least 2 cherry pies because the kids eat up one by themselves. So I have to have one and stash it back in the refrigerator somewhere. If you like 2 and 3 gifts on your birthday, don't you think Jesus would like 2 and 3? I'm sure there's more than one thing that you can give to Jesus. You know, if nothing else, if you read your Bible in a year, you take your Bible and put it under the tree. Lord, I've read your word this year. That's my gift to you. Now, Lord, my gift coming up is I'm going to start obeying more of what I read this year. I'm going to start putting into practice more of what I read this year. Lord, I'm going to read your word with such a love and such a desire that you wrote this just to me and me alone. And I'm going to read this as if it's my very own love letter to me, because it is. It is. And I'm going to do what you asked me to do each step of the way. And guess what? God will bless. What does God want you to give? We see what's been given. The shepherds gave proclamation. God gave to Jesus birth parents. The wise men gave birth presents. Everybody's giving. What can you present to him? Amen. Let's sing one stanza of Have You Any Room for Jesus in our closing. 3:30 in your hymnals. I said 3:30 and somebody said 1. Amen. 3:31. Okay. Let's sing 2 and 4. 2 and 4. Here we go. Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, he can enter in the heart for which he died. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing your heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. And the last. Room and time now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon your heart left cold and silent, and your Savior's pleading ceased. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing your heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Our Father, thank you so much for allowing us to see the shepherds. And the proclamation that they gave was the same proclamation that the angels gave to them, that Christ was born and he was going to be the Savior of the world. And they rushed with haste to see that great thing that was told to them, that had already come to pass. And Lord, thank you, they went in such a haste with such a faithfulness and a desire to see Christ. And Lord, after they saw you, and Lord, they went and made that known abroad. So they didn't just stay within their own circles. They went outside their circles and told others. God, if we can do anything tonight, we can proclaim to others the good news of Jesus Christ. Now this time of the year is set aside for him. He's no longer a baby in a manger, no longer on the cross, no longer in the tomb. He's in heaven making intercession for us, preparing a mansion for us as well. And we know soon he's coming back again. Lord, as you prepare your coming, Lord, may we once again look within our own hearts, our own souls, to see what it is you'd ask us to give of you this year. Lord, may we never tire of giving you gifts. We should give you gifts every year. Lord, it may be a lip of proclamation. It may be something of treasure to us. It may be something of very little worth to others, but very, very practical to us. Maybe something that, Lord, has been you've been dying to get from us, but we've been withholding for many, many years. Maybe it is that which you would have us to give. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's talents. Maybe it's treasure. Lord, maybe it's just to take more time with you in the Word of God, in prayer and in praise and adoration. Lord, maybe it's just to be more in awe of who you really are. Lord, maybe it's being kind to someone else, gentle to someone else, loving to someone else, maybe forgiving to someone else. Maybe it's not harboring bitterness in our own hearts against someone. Maybe it's reaching out to an unlovely person. Lord, maybe it's being kind to a brother or sister. Maybe it's aiding a hurting person. Maybe it's helping an elderly person, reaching out, being an assistant to them. Lord, there's so many things that we can give. But Lord, we don't want to give just anything. We want to give the thing that you desire for us to give. And Lord, may we start with ourselves and giving our lives to you as a living sacrifice and asking you to use it as a sacrifice that's alive for your honor and your glory. Lord, there's much that you can do with a life surrendered to you, as we could see in the life of Mary, the life of the wise men, and the life of the shepherds. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. And Lord, we'll praise you for your day and your birthday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.